Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 385. Tonight we'll be talking about AEW Rampage and WWE SmackDown. But before we can get to that, I'm here with Seth Zillman and Jarrett Aubrey. Fellas! How the hell are you?
Well, normally this is the time I crack open my soda, but I've already cracked it open because I've had a pretty long day. We're ready to talk some wrestling, so let's get to it.
I spent my day completely wrestling unrelated, and I was running cables, I was installing new equipment, I've got an 85-inch TV up, I've got a brand new LG amazing soundbar and subwoofer combination, and I cranked that sumbitch up this afternoon, and hell yeah, it sounds good. So I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy tech nerd right now.
You could play some serious Galaga on a screen like that.
I was thinking maybe like Pong, perhaps, but...
boys and their toys. That's what I would be told if that were my situation, but... He was having adult fun after spending adult money.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I only have one news item, and it's at first, whatever the audio version of glance, at first sound, it'll be like, well, this isn't wrestling related. Ah, but it is. As there's a reported potential merger and or agreement being discussed between Paramount Plus and Comcast for Peacock.
Oh.
A report out of the Wall Street Journal has Paramount and Comcast with recent discussions about joining forces in the streaming landscape by way of partnership or joint venue. Paramount is reportedly pursuing several potential strategic options, and a partnership with Comcast is a potential choice. According to the report, combining the two platforms could result in major cost savings from programming and marketing perspectives. Plus, the venture could offer a more comprehensive live sports package for customers. Paramount has also reportedly had recent discussions about a potential merger with Warner Brothers Discovery. So if this goes through, then that means a new combined platform for the formerly known WWE Network, at least in the United States.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of funny seeing all these multi-billion dollar companies kind of playing halvesies with the world, so to speak. You know, kind of playing ping pong with the entire planet going between them. But I don't want to say it's interesting to see. It's almost downright scary to kind of think of this, that WWE and AEW could potentially be on the same network without anybody making any sort of deal between the two wrestling companies, if that makes any sense.
All these TV deals for WWE and WBD is not even committing anything new to AEW yet. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't even really know what Paramount Plus does. Like, what do they have that's exclusive to them, or what's their big selling point?
I don't know what's exclusive to them, but they're an offshoot of CBS.
Yeah, it's basically CBS, and CBS is Paramount. Star Trek is probably the biggest thing there.
But at the same time, if you scroll through Paramount Plus, there's a bunch of shows that they apparently own that weren't even broadcast originally on CBS. So I'm not really sure what their niche is, but it'll be interesting. The funny thing is, everybody had cable, then all these streaming platforms came about, and everybody's like, oh, we'll do cord cutting and we'll get rid of cable. And now all these streaming companies are merging to give you a package similar to cable. It's like, what are we doing here? All right. Well, enough of that. We're not a audiovisual podcast, so let's get back to the wrestling aspect of it. We're going to flip things today. We're going to go with AEW Rampage first, because that's less rage-inducing. So to cover the 1 hour show and recap, there was a no DQ match between Sammy Guevara and Jeff Hardy, where Jeff Hardy suffered a broken nose during the match after, what was it? A moonsault? No, not a moonsault. It was
a shooting star.
Shooting star press, where Sammy's knee collided with Jeff's face. The early reports were that Jeff was not concussed, but definitely suffered a broken nose. He's still undergoing tests. And post-match, Powerhouse Hobbs murked Sammy and hits him with the world's strongest slam, which is interesting because he's behind the scenes getting mentored by Mark Henry. So I guess he gave the blessing to use his move. They announced a trios match for Dynamite, Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, and Brian Cage versus Hook, Hangman, and Rob Van Dam. And yes, there are some people in there that you wouldn't imagine would be in a match like this.
Yep.
Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs defeated three jobbers. And yes, you heard me correctly.
Yeah, one of them was just called Hit.
Yeah, it's the children of the Von Erichs.
Yeah. Well, I would hope so. It's just kind of a a blast from the past.
Not to be rude, but the rest are dead. So,
right. Yeah.
But they were in Texas, so that's why they did it.
Jeez Louise.
Toni Storm had a backstage segment with Renee where Renee asked her thoughts on what Deonna Purrazzo had to say on Dynamite. And basically, Toni cackled, laughed, and then applied an arm bar to Mariah May. And then an ankle lock submission to Mariah May, demonstrating what she's going to be doing to Deonna. Meanwhile, Mariah's tapping out, and then Deonna picks her up and goes, good job. It's like, you just beat her up, and you're going to say, good job? Oh, Toni. Anyway, in the most shocking development of the hour, Queen Aminata defeats Anna Jay and ends her losing streak on AEW. We're going to ignore the part where she won in Ring of Honor, but that's a totally different company. And in the main event, the Bang Bang Scissors Gang defeated the Dark Order, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, and Satnam Singh.
And one other thing about the Jeff Hardy thing is I didn't want to say too much of it publicly, just in case I was wrong. I mean, I know there are people that were upset over the match continuing. It looks like they went right to the finish after the problem happened, which, of course, is usually what you're supposed to do. But there is on-site video after the match of, I believe it was Matt Hardy, like flipping the bird to Sammy and Jeff kind of walking around all loopy. I didn't really want to talk about that because I didn't know if it was part of an angle or not. That part did not make it on TV. I'm assuming that happened before Hobbs did the run-in. So it does kind of add to the talk of maybe there is some actual heat there. Because if it was part of an angle, I'm sure it would have made it to TV. So it's interesting that that wasn't on TV. But yeah, everything else, I mean, it was entertaining, but wasn't anything really to write home about.
Are you insinuating we're wrong on this podcast?
never happens.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick over to SmackDown. I was in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I'm going to go over the early stuff quickly because I have a feeling we have a lot to say on the main event segment, not the main event match. So here's the recap of what they had was qualifiers and one squash match, but I'm going to ignore the squash match. And for the Elimination Chamber qualifiers, Kevin Owens defeated Dom Mysterio. Tiffany Stratton defeated Zelina Vega. Logan Paul defeated The Miz. And Naomi beat Alba Fire, who was substituting for the now injured Shotzi. Although they had to flip the opponents around, otherwise it was supposed to be Tiffany Stratton taking on Shotzi and Naomi taking on Zelina, but I think they flipped that once they had to replace Shotzi. But either way, those are the qualifiers. Now, before we get to the main event segment, I do have one small beef, and believe it or not, that's with R-Truth. R-Truth came out during the Kevin Owens Dominic Mysterio match, continuing the shtick from last week where he thought Kevin Owens was the Miz. And I laughed last week. However, it was funny last week because the Miz wasn't in the building because he's on Raw. Mm-hmm. However, this week, the Miz had a match and was in the building. And Truth and the real Miz never interacted on camera. So I'm to believe that R-Truth thought Kevin Owens was the Miz when the Miz was actually backstage and in the building in front of the people and the cameras, and Truth just missed that? I had a small problem with that. Not as funny this week.
Yeah, I was wondering why Truth was like celebrating when Kevin Owens won. I must have missed that last week.
Does R-Truth really exist in the same universe as the rest of us do? I mean, this is the same guy that ran out in the middle of the Women's Royal Rumble and thought he was going to go in and wrestle. And it's like, him, you know, confusing who he thought the Miz was, isn't that just kind of par for the course?
Well, yeah, but like I said, that's fine when he's not in the building, but he was here.
He ran out to a ring full of women.
You're not going to explain it away, Jarrett. It was funny last week. It was not funny this week. Period. End of story. Now let's take that rage and talk about The Rock, damn it. All right. So in the final segment, which I have lots of problems with on varying different levels, but Roman came out and took his usual 4 minutes to get to the ring. And this segment started at 20 to the hour. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'm like, are they really going to cut The Rock off again and not give him enough time to cut this promo? And so Roman has his say, and he's telling the crowd that they're all idiots and he doesn't want them to screw it up because this night is historic. This is the night The Rock joins the Bloodline. And I'm like, technically by proxy, wasn't he always in the Bloodline? He did the family tree and everything. It's always been a thing. That's the least of my problems with this, though. Anyway, The Rock's music hits. Of course, the crowd pops like morons. And he comes out in a shirt that he wore probably in 1997 or 98, and he just cut the sleeves off.
I remember that shirt.
And you know right away it's not quite Hollywood Rock, because Hollywood Rock, if I remember correctly, wore like leather vests and things like that. But this was right around Nation of Domination Rock, and that'll come into play later on in this segment. But so he comes to the ring. He says what he says. It's his promo. And it didn't sit well with me at all, because it was all 1998 stuff. Like, he literally had nothing new to say. And not only was it all retread from 26 years ago, it wasn't what they made it seem like we were going to get tonight. Last week, Heyman told Triple H that he was coming this week with Roman Reigns, his tribal chief, and The Rock. And at the press conference, we had Rock say, either you fix this or we will. And this is the first time we're seeing Roman and Rock since the press conference. And nothing, we didn't even get Triple H out here. There was no threatening to make any changes. All Rock really said was, you guys had the biggest main event of all time of WrestleMania in your hands, and you flushed it down the toilet. And the only good line that he had was, it's the same toilet you were all sitting on when you're tweeting out, we want Cody, we want Cody. Cody's got to finish the story. Which was funny, because it was funny when he did it on Pat McAfee last week. But I don't know. I didn't care for any of this. And I texted Jarrett right after SmackDown ended, or at least after I watched SmackDown. I was a bit of like a 10-15 minute delay. And I was like, wow, Rock made me not give a shit. That's talent. Because I really could care less with anything he had to say. But that was Friday night. That was last night after I watched it. And I'm going to throw something out there, and then I'll get your guys' perspective on this. I've seen everybody and their brother online in the last 12 to 20 hours point out that when The Rock was supposed to throw up the one, like everybody else in the bloodline, it kind of looked like he was joining the Bang Bang Scissor Gang because he had a gun up, or some people called it an L, and he wasn't really doing the right gesture. And the way you have to cock your thumb to do that, you have to do it on a purpose. There's no accident in doing that. Then some people are pointing out that when he said, I'm going to make sure you walk out of WrestleMania a loser, his words were intimating Cody, but he was pointing right at Roman Reigns when he said that. Directly or indirectly, he happened to be pointing at Roman Reigns when he said those words. That's what a lot of people are bringing up. And so some theories are like, oh, he's a double agent. That's what he talked to Cody about. He's infiltrating the bloodline and he's going to turn on Roman at Mania and help Cody win. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I could see that. That seems plausible. Okay, then that kind of backtracks and sort of explains the conversation, because Cody himself said that he and Rock had a good conversation. So, okay, we'll throw that in the back of our mind as a little kernel to possibly address at a later date. But other than that, I really did not. And I'm a guy who loves nostalgia, but I really, really did not have a good taste in my mouth after this promo. I really did not like it. All right. So I've had my say. You guys, what did you think? Seth, start us off.
Well, I was entertained. Again, like you said, there was a bit of the nostalgia. Yes, he was channeling Nation of Domination. And plus, it goes on with what I'd said on social media last week, that make no mistake, he's trying to be a bad guy here. He just went foot to the floor for this episode. So I really didn't have anything to complain about. But then again, maybe if I had been watching SmackDown such more closely, like what you guys have, maybe I would have noticed that stuff. But I just assumed they're channeling Nation of Domination Rock for this. Now, whether Rock does turn at Mania and maybe sides with Cody or not, we'll see. But maybe they're trying to do it so that in hindsight, you can see this is what they were pointing to. But, I guess we'll see. I was thoroughly entertained by it. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, difference of opinion, I guess.
I didn't have a lot of problems with the promo. It's like, yeah, there are some throwbacks. And as soon as he did the, if you smell, and then he stopped, I knew the sing-along with the Rock line was coming. You said the same thing, Josh. It didn't bother me so much. My biggest problem was with the whole segment was, like you hinted at kind of when you're talking, Josh, was they threatened to, to tell Triple H to fix this or we will. And it's like, they didn't even address that at all. And as you watch the promo and the segment, it's like, okay, they've established that without a doubt, Rock is part of the bloodline. And I guess maybe that's a step, because the way they left things at the press conference was, well, they wanted to fight each other, but kind of Rock did the family thing. But did that really mean that they're together? Or is that just kind of, they got the same thing. It's like, a family attack. They kind of sided with each other, but does that really mean that they're really together? Or is this just a one night only thing where they're on the same page for the family attack, but they made no bones about it now that Rock's in the bloodline, and that's okay. But the whole not addressing Triple H, not addressing fixing it, not even getting anywhere close to that. Okay, I was a little bit disappointed in that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, all on social media, and they did the whole thing of, you know, Rock arriving at such and such a time, and they're like, oh, big things tonight, big things. And it's like, nothing. Oh, it's historic. Rock joined the Bloodline. Well, like I said, if you saw the family tree, he's been in the Bloodline. In fact, he's the high chief.
But in that logic, John, what about Naomi? Where's she?
Yeah.
Right. Where, why haven't they brought Ava in yet? Where's Jacob? Where's Lance? Right. Like,
where, it's mid-February. I want answers now. Damn it. See, and I think I would have liked it more had he not reverted to his normal shtick. And he tried. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but he tried something different and then finished the shtick anyway. He said, finally. And then the crowd goes booing and then goes, oh, you want to boo the Rock? You sure you want to boo the Rock? And he goes, finally, your lives have been graced with, I forget the exact line, but, you know, like something relevant or whatever. And that was new. And I was okay with that. That was even great. And then he just went back to, finally, the Rock has gone back to Salt Lake City. It's like, yeah, that's old. Stick with what you changed. That's the new stuff. Get people to boo you. All people are going to do is, quote unquote, sing along with the Rock because that's what you're doing. Ugh, I don't know. I mean, it's the Rock. And maybe I'm just angry because this is not the way I wanted it to go down. And I don't know. When we've been saying this for so long on this podcast for 2 years, how we wanted this to play out. And as sure as hell wasn't them being on the same side. So maybe that's my problem with it. I don't know.
What's kind of funny though, or maybe even funny is the wrong word, maybe even interesting is, you know, Seth has been saying, oh, he's, you know, he's working really hard at being a bad guy and that's awesome. But did you hear the pop when his music hit?
Right. Exactly. And here's the other thing, and this is not anything to do with WWE. This has to do with social media. I keep seeing videos recapping things, and the thumbnail and the headline grabber is Rock turns heel. Dude, Rock's been heel for like 10 days.
Yeah.
Rock joins the Bloodline and turns heel. No. Rock turned heel on Pat McAfee's show, okay?
Yep. Like I said, you look at how he introduced the Bloodline and said that it's the only royal family, which is a dig at Cody's intro.
Right.
One compound word for you, clickbait.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's for sure. Can't even get it right. 3 weeks from now, it's going to be like, The Rock shows up on Raw and turns heel. Oy.
That's how you really feel, Josh.
We don't have enough time. So there was even a report earlier in the day that had said if they announced the tag match for night one, that was the Rock's idea. That was how the Rock was pivoting off of Roman and Rock and Cody and Seth to Cody and Roman. And then they were going to do the tag match night one. They didn't even announce that. They didn't even address that. And yes, I'm counteracting what I said. It's only mid-February, but at least make it feel like we're on the same track here and we're not falling off the tracks. But
well, we're not there yet, though. And even Monday night when Seth and Cody were out there and Seth did the whole, you know, there's only one man that can be your Shield thing. You know, Cody's like, well, I'll think about it. Like, they didn't even confirm that they're on the same page together. Right. Over on Raw. So it's like, we're kind of in the same spot there. So I don't want to get too hard on them just yet because we got a ways to go. But I do, like I said, I do really dislike the, you know, the talk all week about, oh, we're going to fix this. And then nothing happened.
Right.
And like you said, not we didn't even see Triple H.
Yeah, and if you watch WWE's video edit of Seth's promo from Raw, and they spliced in Shield footage, according to WWE, in 2024, there were only two members of the Shield because they cropped Dean Ambrose completely out of it. You saw a fist. That was it. And then there were, of course, memes about that, like POV Dean Ambrose watching the WWE edit and be like, damn, why you gotta do me dirty like that? All right. Well, any final thoughts of the wrestling weekend?
Nothing we haven't already talked about. I'm sure we're going to have our predictions for Elimination Chamber next week. And with it, as I say, a lot of times this time of year, this is when WWE brings their A game. So this is the best time to watch them.
Yeah. We're even, you know, being a little bit ticked off at SmackDown, it's like they still got me to see what's going to happen next, right? So yeah, I'll be there for Raw. I'll be there for SmackDown because this is, you know, we're back to the hottest thing in wrestling again. So yeah, let's see what happens next.
All right, I've got two quick points. One, who would have thought I'd be mad at a Rock promo in 2024? And two, if Tiffany Stratton does not learn how to position her opponents better for that moonsault, she too will break somebody's nose. Because her knees are getting dangerously close to somebody's head. I think she got Zelina in the stomach. And I think last week against Mi Chin, she also got her funny too. She better line up her opponents. I know it's bad when you see somebody get slammed for a top rope maneuver and then they adjust themselves closer. I would rather see that than see an injury. So memo to Tiffany Stratton. It may be Tiffy time, but you better work on that positioning of your opponents before you hurt somebody.
I never even caught that. I was too busy going, oh, so Zelina Vega and fast forwarding. Even though it was Tiffany Stratton.
Oh, Jarrett, real quick, your comment about the WWE 2K24 rating?
Yeah.
That's not even what you should have been upset about. Last year, Tiffany was an 80. And then she had the years she had, and she went down to 79. That should be the complaint.
Jesus, you're not wrong.
All right, so our next episode will be our Raw and NXT recap and any news since the weekend. And until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.